Hello, Dale speaking. This is India.
Dale speaking. This is Room.
Dale speaking. This is Amber.
Ring, ring. Dale speaking.
6 divided by 3
is 2. Yep.
Oh, it's
9
two.
Divided by 3.
9 divided by 3. Oh, shit. 3 plus 3 is 9.
Yep. Good one, Amber. Welcome to Radio Dale number 63.
This week in music history, NSYNC sells a million concert tickets.
Wow.
On who charted? France.
Farooz's 60-second tip of the week, shut up and listen.
Oh, and then we're so much nicer in the roundtable discussion, telling you how patience is a virtue. Hmm.
And this week's song of the week is from none other than Jess Moskaluk.
Excellent.
So, it's time for...
This week in music history!
Yay! Room is excited about that.
Yes.
So I guess we should just jump right in. Rue.
India.
Okay.
India.
And Amber.
Whatever.
Just telling you who's on the podcast.
On March 20th, 1991, Michael Jackson signed a $1 billion contract with Sony. It was the richest deal in recording history.
That's crazy.
And he spent it all on weird things.
Yes. More power to him. Ah, that's me. March 21st, 1980. Born on this day, Derek Busy D. Wibley? I never really pronounced his last name.
I didn't
before.
Even know that he had a Busy D in there.
Yeah. Busy D, Derek, of Sum 41, guitar, vocals. He had a big hit, of course, with In Too Deep, and Sum 41 did very well here and in the U.S.
Go Canada and Derek Wibley.
Go both.
Wibley. Whatever. March 22nd, 1992, Polygram Records officially announced that Tears for Fears had split up. Roland Orzabal continued using the name Tears for Fears, because that's what he does. Mm-hmm. During the career, they scored 15 UK top 40 singles and 2 US number ones. They reformed in 2004, and it is one of my goals in life to see them live together.
On March 23rd, 1974, Cher went to number one on the US singles chart with Dark Lady. It was her third solo number one.
Wow.
Cher. She's coming soon.
If you'd like tickets, please let us know.
I do have them.
We have extras.
Just hanging around.
Just, you know.
March 24th, 1990. Canadian singer Alana Miles started with a 2-week run at number one on the U.S. single charts with
Black Velvet.
Oh,
where's she from again?
You were totally off.
I'm kidding.
I was totally on key.
Black Velvet.
There we go, that's better. Black Velvet, a number two hit in the UK,
boo,
and obviously UK. Number one here in Canada.
You know what would be cool to know? What was number one in the UK?
When that was there?
When it was number two.
We should find that out.
We should find it.
And homework. Let people know.
Yeah. March 25th, year 2000. I had to say that, like, dramatic. The millennium. NSYNC set a new world record after selling 1 million tickets in one day. But not for one show. It was for their forthcoming tour. But it netted them over £25 million, which really we should say $42.5 million. Mm-hmm. So Justin Timberlake is probably still getting paid.
Probably.
And on March 26th, 1969, Marvin Gaye was at number one on the UK singles chart with I Heard It Through the Grapevine. That was supposed to be
how you
that
sang
it.
I wasn't singing it.
Okay,
it sounded kind of like you were.
I heard it through the grapevine.
I heard it through the grapevine.
No, it's a jazz tune. We'll let you finish.
All right. I was just going to bring up that song was in a previous podcast.
Yes.
As Amber's...
Anti-Valentine's
yep.
Day song.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It was first recorded by The Miracles and had also been a million seller. I don't know what that means. In 1960...
It sold a million.
Copies.
Thanks. For Gladys Knight and the Pips.
Awesome.
Heard it through the grapevine.
I heard it through the grapevine.
Who says it
just
was a million seller?
A million seller.
That album was a million seller.
I think you should write the writer.
You're not from the time when million seller was common terminology.
Rue is so cultured.
I am so cultured.
Next.
All right, let's move on to our favorite section, of course, because we like to announce who charted.
Oh, I just talked so much. Now I have to talk some more.
It's the India episode.
Yeah, apparently. Okay, so earlier today, I was thinking about Amber previously did a thing about UK singles.
Yeah. Mm.
So I thought, let's venture to another country. So then I was looking at the top songs on Billboard for France.
Mm, nice.
Yes. So number one, Happy Pharrell.
Of course.
Number two, Dernière Danse, Indila.
Oh.
I liked her name. Number three, and she's from France. Pay attention to this because I'm going to...
Let us know.
So, yeah. So that's one French artist.
Okay.
Number three, Wasting My Young Years by London Grammar.
No. Okay.
They're from the UK. Number four, Instant Crush from Daft Punk featuring Julian Casablancas.
They're French.
Yeah,
they Julian is right. No, he is not.
He's American.
So this is a different song than the new Daft Punk song.
Yeah.
It's coming out. So, interesting. Number five, Magic Coldplay. Number six, Jubel by Klingond. French also.
Nerds.
I thought that was funny. Number seven, Dark Horse, Katy Perry. Number eight, Zombie, Maître Gims.
French.
Gotta be French.
Yep. Number nine, Addicted to You, Avicii. Also different than the new Avicii song.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is Hey Brother. And number 10, Siren's Call by Cats on Trees. Also French.
Oh, I like the name of the...
How do you say Cats on Trees in French?
Les Chats dans l'arbre.
So that was 5 out of the top 10
on
the France charts were French. So I thought that was interesting since for us, we have CanCon rules and usually it's nice if the top, if 3 in the top
it's
10
nice
are Canadian.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a blog this week about quotas for French content and content in other countries.
Very cool.
There you go. It's actually up on our website today.
Yes.
As of today.
So you should go take a look at what, at the knowledge India has shared
knowledge
with us.
Knowledge on dalespeaking.com. Trademark. All rights reserved. I don't know. What do people say after they give information? Anyways, that was Who Charted, and now it's time for the likely less than 60-second tip of the week, because I'm going to keep it simple. As I said in the beginning, shut up and listen, but this is going to be a bit nicer than that. So the 60-second tip is, we talk a lot about talking, but it's time to talk about listening. So what are people saying about you online? This is all about monitoring. So ways that you can monitor, you could use things like Hootsuite, which you can find at hootsuite.com, or Social Bro, or Tracker, that's K-U-R. All of them help you post, but they also monitor what people are saying. You can search and get a column that tells you what people are saying about you. So it's a way to share and to also monitor. But also, you're going to want to use something like a blog search to see if you're being mentioned on any blogs. So google.com/blog search, boardreader.com for forums, or whostalkin.com, which searches social media. If you use these, type in the name of your band or your song or your album, you can actually find where people are talking about you and see what they're saying, if it's positive or negative, and reply back. So the tip is to not just only talk to people, find out what they're saying about you.
That's cool.
That's good.
That now, is. One question with the ones that look up the social media mentions, does it have to be when you're mentioned, like, at... my band,
no.
Or can it just be your band name mentioned?
Just your band name. And the same thing with, like, a Hootsuite. You can actually just search your band name, and it will appear. I guess a subnote would be, when coming up with a band name, make sure it's unique enough
that
if you search for it, it doesn't bring up a million other things.
Well, I used to really like a band called The Music.
Yeah, and you can never find them
anymore. And then, you know, if you try to Google anything, you would get, like, anything on the internet that mentioned...
Music. I remember one rule that was sort of mentioned when we were at school was for things like laundry detergent, you want the words to be clear but representative of how you want laundry to be. So sunshine.
Tide.
And tide and ocean breeze and all that kind of stuff. But for band names, you want it to be completely different than anything out there.
Like bookshelf.
You do not want to have a band called Bookshelf or Couch Cushion.
I'm naming things in the room.
Unless you spell Couch Cushion with a V instead of a U.
Yeah, the U. How about
Cushion
Lampshade
is like K-O-O.
With an R in there?
Lampshade. See, if it was Lampshade, all one word, that band would be discoverable anywhere.
Those are my rubber boots, by the way. Sorry.
Are you trying
to hear them? The podcast?
No, I, yeah.
Well, I can hear them pretty clearly.
Guess I need to open the window again.
Yeah. Anyways, this was supposed to be a quick episode. Okay. So let's get to the round table.
Yes.
For the round table, as was mentioned, patience is a virtue. We have some subtitles for this one as well. One was Don't Rush. That has a lot to do with patience is a virtue. There's Calm Your Shit. That also gives the same, like we could say to these people, right?
Calm down, people.
Calm down. Now, what do we mean by patience is a virtue / don't rush / calm your shit?
I think that when we're doing this podcast, I mean, we could refer to many things in life when we say calm the F down. But we're speaking specifically to musicians and certain things that tie into what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically because we've had a large or a high volume of submissions within the past few weeks, just with people ramping up for the summer. Mm-hmm. They've got their album releases ready. They want to get on the road. They want to be on the radio because everyone wants to have everything nice and pretty and done for, obviously, the fourth quarter or the end of the year,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So with a lot of these submissions we've been getting, not a lot, but with the submissions, some of them, as well as stuff we've experienced in the past, is just the mentality of, you know, my album's done, needs to be on the radio tomorrow.
Yeah.
Can you, like, you need to have, can you do it? And we just want to remind people or share that that always can't be the case, or really can't be the case when you are bringing your finished material to people like us, radio trackers, or publicists, or someone you would like to manage you.
Or other promo people.
Or a label, kind of, whatever. Yeah, anyone that you want to work directly with this new album, your expectations have to be of when it's going to be popular, when you're going to get it out, and when the work's going to start, need to change a little bit.
When artists finish songs, and I find this with another podcast I do, I'll have people get in touch with me literally saying, it's been an hour since I finished it. Do you think you could feature it on the podcast this week?
Mm-hmm.
And people don't really live with the music as much anymore. Mm-hmm. They want to get it out once it's done because...
Which is fair.
Yeah, especially if you've spent months working on it, and especially an album.
Mm-hmm.
Singles, I think people might be able to sort of go, okay, I can wait a little bit. But after you've worked months and months and months on an album, once it's done, you just want to push it out to people. But, for instance, you were mentioning your team, which might be very small. Maybe it's a manager, a friend who does publicity or something like that. But once you've finished an album or a series of singles, people are going to have to live with the music for a little bit to try to figure out where could it go, what approach are we going to do to promote this?
Yeah.
Does it need to be remixed? Maybe you're so excited you got a great bunch of tracks, but it just isn't quite sounding right yet. So that's where patience can be a virtue.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of times that someone comes to us and says, you know, the album's done and we've set the release date and it's coming out in a month. Here's your... And for us, personally, it takes us a couple of weeks because we're not going to listen to your music and then decide the next day we're going to be working with you and then come up with an entire strategy and have everything ready and set within a few days.
People definitely want that to happen.
Yeah, because you're excited and I can't respect that more than anything. Like, if you have your baby, it's your music, your baby, it's done... I can respect the fact you want it out. But if you want, we're not asking you to wait 8 months, but we're asking that when you submit your music, you need to be prepared. And one suggestion we do have is don't set a release date for your music until you have as many ducks lined up in a row as possible. So that's having your publicist set up, having a radio tracker, any other sort of promotion materials or people that are involved. Have that stuff at least started, or at least have the conversation started before you decide when your album's coming out. Because nothing is more frustrating to us than, you know, being told. Because we have to basically go back to you and say, that's not enough time. You know, if you're telling us that your song's already on DMDS and the album's coming out in a week, what are we going to do here?
I was going to say that too. Releasing it on DMDS or putting the whole album up on SoundCloud and then 2 weeks later showing up and saying, I'd like to release this, and we're setting our date for X amount of time in the future. Just thinking about those things, like I want to release this on DMDS to a whole bunch of different radio stations. Write it down. Yeah. Like, make a list of all those things you would like to do, and then maybe find somebody to talk to and say, what is the order? How should I be doing this?
And one suggestion that we will make for us personally that we have found helpful is that when you are either in the middle of recording your new album or before you're recording your album, we're happy to be contacted while you're in those stages. Mm-hmm. You don't have to contact us the second the album's done and you're ready to go. Mm-hmm. You can contact us, you know, whether it's 6 months before you're even sure you're going to be done your album. Give us a ring, email us, and say, here's my past stuff, here's what I'm all about, and I just wanted to touch base with you guys, get an idea of what we do here at Dale Speaking, and then what can be done for this artist. And then tell us, you know, in a few months I'll be able to give you my finished tracks. That, now, because we can't hear the new music, that's obviously...
It's not like we'll just say, you're in!
Yeah, we're not going to be like, we're going to work with you, that's great. But the fact that you do that, and then you show how prepared you are, and that you're also doing yourself a favor, and you're not scrambling when you're done your album, and you're getting the work done ahead of time, that's a good tip that I can give you as a musician when you're listening to this, is work ahead.
Yeah.
Start the conversations early, and if you don't, or if you can't, that's fine. But just make sure your expectations are managed properly, because, like I said at the beginning, it's the amount of people that come here, or to anybody, and we've had conversations with our friends that are publicists all the time, the expectation of my album's done, we're ready to go, so you better be ready to go. Yeah. And it just, unfortunately, doesn't work that way.
Not on call doctors.
Yeah, exactly, no. Right?
Yeah, basically.
That's a good way to look at it. Exactly. And the same with we're saying publicity, but like for promotion, buying advertisement in, say, a magazine or something, it's the same as setting up a tour. You want to advance things.
Yeah.
You want a lead time. They may take 2 months after you send an ad for them to actually put it in a paper, just like you have to send a promoter, this is what we need, well in advance of a show. The album is one of the most important parts of your whole process as an artist. Yeah. So to not sort of advance the album and like actually plan it out so that you have a strategy, so things are happening at the same time, as best as they can happen. Part of the reason why great albums disappear is that somebody puts it up on SoundCloud, tweets to their friends, plays a couple of shows over here, promotes it 2 months later, gets somebody else involved 3 months later. I mean, things are so disjointed. There's no collective sort of cohesive plan, so nobody... You don't hit a bunch of people at the same time from a bunch of different angles.
Yeah.
It's just kind of floating by their Twitter feeds and stuff.
Exactly. So it's just one thing we wanted to share because, like we said, we've been running across a lot of submissions that have had that sort of mentality. So, yeah we just wanted to hopefully help.
And there's Dale's back in the office.
Yeah, and so. Dale's back at work because you can hear him in the background. If you have any questions as well about timing or what's the best time or anything like that or anything that we've mentioned, please feel free to contact us because that's why we're here. And, if you have any questions about, publicists too, about how they work, we actually have a really good podcast we did with Christina Fernandez of Listen Harder, who shared some really good tips about when to approach a publicist.
Yes, very much.
So I think that would be something very useful if you just go into our Podomatic
show notes.
Podcast list. Or show notes. I'll actually link to it. That's a good point.
Though it's easy to find, you just go find the, we were calling them Conversations With.
Conversations With Christina Fernandez. And yeah, like I said, she shares some really key information. And it's interesting how much what we do reflects what a publicist does when it comes to not the actual work, but the timing and the, when you're being brought in and things like that. So, and how what we do affects each other. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody works together. It's like one of those
one big happy crazy family.
Things. It's like a spider web full of spiders.
We're all spiders in the music industry.
Which I don't mind, but everybody else probably doesn't. Anyways, I think we're coming to the end of the episode.
What a nice time. That's lovely.
Crazy. We're aiming for shorter episodes. Let us know what you think of that. If you miss our rambling, then we'll bring it back. But let us know at Radio Dale. At DaleSpeaking.com or Dale_speaking on Twitter, Dale Speaking on Facebook. We're all over the place. Can't stop us. Do we have any last thoughts before we talk about Jesmioskiliuk.
That was supposed to be Jesmoskiliuk.
Jesmoskiliuk. Yeah. In Rus speak.
Yeah.
No last thoughts.
No, I think we shared a lot of information there. Just, yeah. But don't be discouraged if you have to wait.
Yes, actually, that's a good point.
If time tell, like, it's not that one person's going to sit there and say you have to wait, but if you know timing, you know the radio person you want to work with can't work with you for 2 months because they just don't have room on their roster. Publicist can't work with you for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Until this time, don't be discouraged by it. Just find ways to either deal with it, or if you want to get around it,
play
do what
some
you got to do.
Make some videos, tweet some people, take some pictures. There's a lot of cool things you can do to fill up that gap.
Yeah.
And it'll just build more buzz.
Because a lot of people are worried about space between albums.
Yes.
Space between releases, and just, I don't think that, I think rushing something out
is worse.
Without having a plan, yeah, is worse than just having space in between releases. That's me, but.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay, so do you want to go into our song of the week?
Let's do it.
All right. So we have a new single from our favorite country gal, one of our favorite country gals, Jess Moskaluk. And she has a brand new album coming out on April 15th called Light Up the Night. We actually have her guesting on our podcast very soon.
Yes.
Not only talking about the new album, but there'll be another podcast, I think, where she's going to be talking to us about her online, because she's got over 20,000 likes on Facebook. I don't know the exact number on Twitter.
Millions
over
of views on
YouTube. Yeah. Over 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. So she's done something right online. But she's also done something very well with her music. Her last single on Canadian country radio hit the top 20. That single is called Good Lovin'. You can find it on iTunes. And this new one is called Cheap Wine and Cigarettes. And like I said, it's from her new album that is called Light Up the Night. There's actually a lip gloss line that's coming out with this album. And
so cool.
Yeah, the makeup line is a Hamilton-based Sexton in the City.
Oh.
Yeah, and they style Jess. They provide her with lots of accessories and things like that. So just keep an eye out for Jess. There's also going to be a special on CMT in April. Jess live at the Great Hall, and she's going to be on the road doing a lot of promotions for this album, and she's going to be performing at Boots and Hearts this summer.
Nice.
As well. So keep an eye out for Jess Moskaluk, but here is her brand new single, Cheap Wine and Cigarettes.
You call me up.